knowledge fire.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
Sup?
What's your bright spot today, sir?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is at Mariano's.
Okay.
I could pronounce that more Chicago if you want.
I was going to say.
Mariano's.
Where's Danny Callis at? Did he break in here?
Hey. I can only do real Chicago in one word. Mariano's has a Nashville hot chicken finger that they sell, the prepared food.
Sure, so good. Oh, is it good?
I really enjoy it. I had it last night.
Uh-huh.
So good.
I'm surprised to hear consistently, like, it's not a restaurant, but the food at Mariano's is pretty good. Like, I hear that a lot.
I can't,
it's very unfortunate.
I can't vouch for everything at Mariano's, but I can say that I am shocked by the consistency of supermarket chicken fingers. When I was younger,
it's a universal standard.
I don't know if it's universal, but when I was younger, the Gerb's, one of the grocery stores in Columbia, had great chicken fingers. They had spicy and regular. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I would go to Gerb's just for the chicken fingers.
Weird.
Schnucks, on the other hand, the other grocery store in town, not as good a chicken.
Yeah, growing up where I did. Strangely, the best Chinese food in my tiny, miserable, all-white section of Illinois, the Jewel Osco.
Sure.
They had somebody there who was like, fuck it. This place is a desert.
Yeah.
And they went for it, man. They made really good Chinese food.
I think I must have seen something on TV about like that great barbecue place that's in a gas station.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're reminiscing.
Weird food in good and strange places.
Yeah.
So what's your bread?
Weirdly enough, it is something a little bit different, but a little bit similar. I took the Argyle stop today, which I don't normally do anymore. It's been a long time since I've taken the Argyle stop.
Sure.
And right underneath that, it's under construction now, but right underneath that was the bodega that I used to go to every time we recorded at your old place.
Yeah, so, I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's the first time I've been in there in years or whatever.
I'm shocked it made it.
Me too.
It looked like it was struggling back when I used to live in the neighborhood a number of years back.
That's why it's my bright spot.
Yeah.
That goddamn place is still there.
Wow.
You are not taking that place down.
Good for them.
The Argyle stop's under construction and they're still going.
I used to live over near there a couple years back, and I would get on the Argyle stop to go to work. I worked way at the end south on the red line. Yeah. And I would go into that bodega pretty much every day before going in to... And I just walk around like, you got nothing in
They've
here.
They've got nothing!
I was furious every morning. Nothing. I was like, I just want a little Debbie or something. I don't know.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yep.
It really is.
Well, good on them surviving.
Somehow.
Yep. So, Jordan, today we are going to be talking about the Sunday episode, December 5th, 2021.
Blackjack. Ooh, I was too early.
I think you got that one.
I was too early. I jumped the gun. Thank you.
So, this is interesting. I think this episode will allow us to play a little bit of catch-up on some of the narratives maybe that we missed while we were taking our 2003 sabbatical.
I know
that we at least hit on one of the very large ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things in the media that people talked about regarding Alex.
Yeah.
So we'll get down to business on that. But first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, the Jim Garrow Institute for Probably Not Human Trafficking. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, love you, K-Mo, from Pat Elsie and Macaroni Jones. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much to that jazz band, I guess.
Yeah. Next, Pavo Lerotich. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And this person sent in a policy wonk shout out. I wanted to give a shout out to charity. And it was our timing was way off because we were gone when this came in, so we're a little late. But I'd like to give a shout out to the Find the Light Foundation. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
That's Thank right. you very much.
The charity is a policy wonk.
Yeah, well, sure, why not? Whatever.
And we got a technocrat in the mix we like to say hello and thank you to Demon Feast Sous Chef Aaron. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
As soon as that came out of my mouth, I'm like, I think we might have shouted that out already. I can't tell if we did. My bad.
I mean, you know, it's... So
Sunday, Alex's is a weekend show.
Uh-huh.
Maybe lower stakes. Who knows?
A little light on the loafers there.
He starts off pretty hot.
Now, on Tuesday, after a federal court ordered the FDA to release the first little drip of hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, we reported on the first 30 pages of documents that came out. And those first 30 pages of documents were a total criminal admission of the FDA in just the first beginning of the so-called vaccine for COVID-19 with Pfizer, causing thousands of deaths. And that they confirmed and knew and covered it up. Well, guess what? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're all censoring even medical doctors trying to link to those documents. I mean, they all deserve to go to prison. The executives, every single one of them. And the word is, Jack Dorsey, not saying the guy's a great guy, but he wouldn't go along with it, so he had to step down.
Right off the bat, like, it's super fun how Alex just decided to make up a story about why Jack stepped down, like, at Twitter. So yeah. Weird that it just happens to fit in perfectly with the dumb conspiracy theories Alex is pitching.
It's so convenient that he did it at that time, too.
So
it really helps him out. It was nice of Jack to do that.
Yeah, the reality is that it's more likely that the investors in Twitter had put pressure on Jack to decide to either step down as the CEO of Twitter or Square, since they're both gigantic businesses. As NBC News reported, prior to Jack stepping down, he was, quote, the only person to be CEO of two public companies with market valuations of greater than $5 billion. That's nuts.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
No.
There have been longstanding tensions between the investment firms that are on Twitter's board and Jack, and this feels like a lot more kind of that sort of thing.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And if I were Jack, around now, and I had to choose, like, which company to stay the CEO of, I would totally go with Square.
Oh, yeah.
Payment processing is way better than the load of shit people running Twitter have to deal with, which is a lot of it is their own fault and problems of their own creation, but still, it's a headache.
Yes, true.
Or maybe the globalists wanted Twitter to censor FDA documents and Jack said no, so he stepped down as the CEO of a $5 billion company just for the principle of it, and he decided to stay mum on the topic.
Could be. That
is
sounds
certainly a possibility.
For many of the free speech warriors lately who have quit or stood up to the censorship, generally they've done so very quietly and often with a kind of staid atmosphere.
Sure.
You know?
I can't wait for him to go on Rogan and talk about how he was forced out of Twitter because he wouldn't allow the censorship.
Yeah.
So I'm certain that these FDA documents that Alex is talking about aren't being censored on Twitter, and you can link to them just fine. I would guess that maybe Twitter could be blocking links to blog posts about the documents on sites like Natural News and other things that have been already kicked off
Twitter. Right, because of the bullshit.
Yeah. So here's what's going on. A group called the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency, they filed a FOIA request for the FDA to release all documents related to the Pfizer vaccine and then sued them when the production schedule wasn't what they had requested. This case is a little complicated, though, and the FDA have suggested that they might need a deadline of 55 years from now to fully produce the requested documents, which is approximately 329,000 pages worth of material.
Okay, that might have been asking for too much.
Yeah, the FDA has asked, can you narrow down your request, please?
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, because they want everything.
Give them everything.
So this is an almost comically long amount of time, but this is a huge amount of documents. And in order to release them to the public by way of FOIA, they need to review all of them to redact all sorts of things like Pfizer's confidential business information and any possible identifying information about the participants in the clinical trials. This is a huge undertaking, and I don't know if it takes 55 years to get through all that, but I can see why it wouldn't take 4 months, which was the initial request length from the group bringing the suit.
I like it. I want them to go ahead with the 55-year... This is like the Voyager now. This is like we're sending it off into space. Who knows what will come back with 55 years from now? Could be anything.
According to Alex, we'll all be dead.
Yeah, see?
So who cares?
Go for it. 55 years is good for me.
So in a November 15th pleading, the FDA requested that they release batches of the initial documents on November 17th and December 1st. And thereafter, they, quote, proposed to process and produce the non-exempt portions of responsive records at a rate of 500 pages per month. This is a tough situation, and I can kind of see both sides of it, and I think that probably 500 pages a month is fine. I don't know. So I was really interested to see what was going on here, and I needed to learn a little bit more before I could really, you know, put my foot down somewhere.
Okay.
Immediately reading over some of these court documents, the way the plaintiffs, the group of doctors, the way they're presenting themselves didn't sit quite right with me.
That's where I was thinking they was going
to
go.
In their initial petition to the court, they seemed to be attempting to come off as if their concerns, they were based on a desire to provide information that are that will quiet vaccine skeptics. Quote, releasing this data should also confirm the FDA's conclusion that the Pfizer vaccine is safe and effective and thus increase confidence in the Pfizer vaccine. If that were the motive that someone were following, I can totally understand that, but there's just a tone in their second filing, the joint status report, that makes me think that this group might be a little bit anti-vaccine.
And if we don't get it, we'll kill all of you!
There are some strange bits, like them insisting that the FDA produce the documents in 108 days, since that's how long it took from when Pfizer began producing documents until the vaccine was licensed. It's a little snarky.
Now we're
kind of smells like trolling.
Now we're getting those assholes.
Yep.
There we go.
Another part reads, quote, in any event, the FDA should welcome making these documents available to the plaintiff if it's confident in the analysis and review it conducted. The fact that it has fought tooth and nail and taken such an absurd and unconscionable position of waiting until the year 2076 to complete the production further heightens the grave need to have these documents produced forthwith.
Oh, no. They did not write forthwith.
Forthwith.
Oh, God damn it.
That just doesn't seem like a sincere position. It kind of seems like something you would say if you were fully aware that the demand you're making is impossible. You have no expectation that it'll be met, and you're kind of just preparing to use that as proof that there's a cover-up going on.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I was getting.
I mean, you're not tossing around forthwith unless you also have a familiarity with admiralty law, and that's kind of what I'm vibing with around here.
It's there's like words that in college I think it was an English professor who was talking about, like, there's words you should just never use outside of an
English
class.
Just don't use it. Just don't do
like,
it.
Like, heretofore.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't say it out loud.
Forthwith is another one, I think.
I love writing heretofore, but I'm not going to say it out loud to another human being. That'd be a nightmare.
I'm now dreading that I've probably said it a bunch of times on the podcast. So there's a list
We'll edit those out forthwith.
So there's a list of members of this group on their website, and I started scanning it, and immediately an interesting name popped up. Paul E. Alexander is in the group, and he was also a scientific advisor to Michael Caputo, Trump's assistant secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. Just being involved in the Trump administration alone isn't damning, but Alexander's influence in the COVID response that happened was pretty serious, and it gives me some pause about this group, given that he's a member. In December 2020, Politico released internal emails from the Trump Health and Human Services Department, and some of them were pretty fucked up. On a 4th of July 2020 email, he sent this email to Caputo, where he suggested that the country needed to open up and that, quote, infants, kids, teens, young people, young adults, middle-aged with no conditions have zero to little risk, so we use them to develop herd immunity. We want them infected. In another email from that day, he suggests people spread COVID to each other intentionally, like having measles parties.
Right.
In later days, the Trump administration figures like Secretary of HHS Alex Azar would try to play down Alexander's involvement in the pandemic response, but there are a number of reasons to doubt that. In another email, this one sent to CDC Director Robert Redfield, Alexander tried to stop the release of the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly reports because he felt that they were being used to, quote, hurt the president. He went on to demand, quote, nothing to go out unless I read and agree with the findings, how they, CDC, wrote it, and I tweak it to ensure it's fair and balanced and complete.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Nothing goes out unless I tweak it.
Hey, you know what? All I'm saying is we can't print out the QuickBooks file. Okay? We have to send it to Alexander before we can...
So this doesn't stop here. In other released emails, you can see Alexander attempting to control what Fauci was saying publicly about the pandemic, particularly about the possibility of children being infected. He was fired shortly after these emails were released, which makes sense. After he got fired, he seemed to strike a bit of a combative tone. Quote, in a lengthy email to the Globe and Mail on Wednesday and a subsequent interview, Dr. Alexander accused the CDC of, quote, generating pseudoscientific reports and said he was more qualified to analyze COVID-19 data than the 1,700 scientists at the agency. Quote, none of those people have my skills, Dr. Alexander said. I make the judgment whether this is crap.
It's starting to feel like delusional narcissists just kind of meet at parties or something and then overthrow governments.
Well, this guy, he met Michael Caputo when Caputo was a radio host.
There we go.
And he was a guest.
Come on, baby.
On his radio
there
show.
We go. Let's give him a job in the president's administration. That's what I want. More radio guests.
And his fingerprints are behind the scenes on a ton of things that don't look great in hindsight about the pandemic and its response. And he was only an advisor to an assistant secretary at the HHS. And he's a member of this group that's suing the FDA.
Great.
But one sketchy apple doesn't mean that the whole group should be seen as suspicious, so I kept looking. Another member of the group is Dr. Ira Bernstein. He's a family doctor from Toronto who's pushed a largely supplement and lifestyle approach to avoiding or reducing the danger of COVID.
Great.
He's kept a largely low profile, but he did fly to Rome this year to speak at the International COVID Summit, which was packed to the gills with notable anti-vax proponents and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine pushers like Alex's buddy Dr. Zelenko and past InfoWars guest Pierre Corey, who was the guy who went on Rogan's show along with Brett Weinstein to promote ivermectin.
Right.
Ira Bernstein may not be as big of a name on this as people on this lineup, but he knew what this event was about, and he flew across the world to be a part of it, which is about all I need to know about his judgment.
Yeah.
Also, I watched his speech from Rome, and in it, Bernstein recommended ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, including citing both as preventative medications people can take as prophylaxis for COVID-19.
Awesome. Also, co-signers, Lex Luthor, the Joker, whoever Aquaman fought, the guy who was a Manta, Black Manta, was that him? Yep. They're all in there.
So there's some other people who have some like real serious... It's maybe not as overt, but serious kind of like anti-vaccine leanings.
Yeah.
Then there's a weight loss doctor and a urologist. Another interesting character is Dr. Lionel Bassoon, who seems to be most notable for being deeply involved in injecting Wall Street traders with testosterone to, quote, give themselves an edge over their professional rivals.
That's my dream job. That is my dream job.
Charging $1,000.
To be a nut job with the last name Bassoon, just scamming rich people with injections that might fucking kill them. Who cares?
But it could also make them real manly.
Oh, they've lost their fucking minds. They're all screaming nonsense at each other.
Yeah, so after I got to Bassoon, I was like, I've decided I've seen enough. I can conclude that these people are not above board, and I do not trust their motives at all. This is a group that I find sketchy.
Come on. At the Goldman Sachs lunch, you guys been to see Dr. Bassoon recently?
What?
That motherfucker.
No, it's a trombone. I saw Dr. Trombone.
My woodwinds are a lot smaller than yours.
So, look, even with all that said, even if I don't trust that group, they're still putting out real FOIA requests for real documents.
Sure.
So that's good.
Yeah,
more information is a positive thing, and the documents themselves can be assessed outside of whatever they end up using them for, this group, whatever spin they're going to put on them.
You guys can be dicks about it, but I'm still happy if we get public documents.
Yeah,
I mean,
fine. I'm not
going to
trust your interpretation, but if it's how the documents end up becoming public, that's
sure.
More information. Hurrah. So at this point, there are 7 documents up on their website, and 2 of them are text files that don't really provide any information. I know from following the conspiracy world as I do that the document that's the most interest to what Alex is talking about, and he ends up talking about very briefly in this episode, though it's his top story.
Sure.
Is a document titled 5.3.6 postmarketing experience.pdf. This document is an analysis of the, quote, cumulative post-authorization safety data, including U.S. and foreign post-authorization adverse events reported, adverse event reports received through the 28th of February, 2021. Much like we talk about with the VAERS data that is consistently misused by anti-vax propagandists, the data that underlies this report is also limited in its application. The report specifically points out that this data cannot be used to determine incidence rates of various potential adverse events and is useful primarily just as a means of signal detection, which is, again, the same thing with VAERS.
Right.
In addition, many of the reported adverse events come with incomplete medical information about the patients, making it essentially impossible to gather follow-up information about their specific cases. And for these and other reasons, this kind of reporting of adverse events is unhelpful in determining if something is caused by a particular drug.
Right.
It provides information, just not that information. So in their data set, there were 42,086 case reports, of which 25,379 had been medically confirmed. So almost 40% of them were not confirmed cases,
right,
and don't really know if the person actually had what they're reporting they had. And so get those
out of here.
Maybe not.
No, for sure.
So the reports they received were then analyzed and evaluated in terms of how much of a signal the data was coming in could represent, which would then continue to guide how the monitoring would proceed. For example, they found that based on the reports, anaphylaxis was an important threat they identified. They reviewed the cases and found that the reports coming in, quote, did not reveal any significant new safety information, because there's already an awareness that there would be some potential allergic reaction that people could have, so that they have to any medication.
Sure.
And the vast majority of the cases had resolved. Of the 2,958 potentially relevant events that they identified, there were 9 fatalities, but, quote, although these patients experienced adverse events that are potential symptoms of anaphylaxis, they all had serious underlying medical conditions, and one individual appeared to also have COVID-19 pneumonia that likely contributed to their deaths.
It's
very difficult to... You have the number of 9 fatalities within this anaphylaxis data set.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look at that and say, well, nine people had anaphylactic responses to the shot and it killed them.
Right.
But the reality is, with the greater amount of data that they have, there's no proof that the possible anaphylactic reaction that they had contributed to what ended up killing them.
Right.
So that's the kind of vibe of this report.
Sure.
Looking over the document, if anything, I feel more confident that the folks who released the vaccine are doing due diligence in terms of monitoring post-marketing safety issues. That's not Alex's take on it, and I get that any time a document gets released, he needs to find a way to make it the smoking gun he's been looking for all along, but this isn't it. The other 3 documents that are currently available on the group's website are long lists of clinical sites and the CVs of researchers involved, which I don't think is getting nearly as much traction with folks like Alex. So it's not fertile ground to misinterpret things.
Come on, you can just grab LinkedIn pages and put them on your website and call it documents. It's not hard.
You get more than the LinkedIn page, man. You got whole like resumes of people.
Ooh.
You got like email addresses.
Watch out.
They could harass these people.
Great.
So I took a little longer on this one and like got into some of the stuff because I know that this document was a big deal for Alex and some of the time that we skipped over. So I wanted to make sure that we addressed this as well as the group that's behind the suit. I get a sense, particularly if the FDA does end up releasing 500 pages of documents a month, that we're going to be getting new imaginary bombshells about this for a long time coming.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be something we'll have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very annoying thing. My guess is, and that's only because this is how it's almost always worked, is that if the FDA does actually start releasing 500 documents a month, they will then feel obligated to work to get through those 500 documents a month.
Do you mean Alex?
Yes. And they will quit.
Oh.
And then we won't have to worry about it for much longer.
I don't know, man. I don't think that anybody like Alex is too plagued by the feeling of needing to work.
That's true. That is true.
I think that they've made peace with that quite a while ago.
But that's also kind of what I'm saying. There's no way that they're going to stick with it.
All you have to do is read a headline and make something up. What are you sticking with?
Exactly.
There's nothing to stick with. It's so easy. It's essentially improv.
That's true. Other people will write a headline for you. That's
yeah.
fair.
You got,
that's
fair. That's what you got Harrison Smith for.
What an asshole.
So, man, there's no debate now because all these documents are public. There's no debate that this is meant to kill you.
Oh. Wait, nine out of...
Nine in the anaphylaxis group.
Right.
There's a little over 1,000 actual fatalities
right.
or deaths that are reported in this document.
Right.
And obviously, not all of them, maybe none of them can be definitively proven to have been
a result of
the vaccine. And this data that's available shouldn't be used in that way anyway.
Right.
And in breakdowns of like the individual things, like the anaphylaxis, they have the instances of death, and other mitigating circumstances.
All of which is to say that you have confirmed this is the smoking gun.
Yes.
That it's going to kill.
Well, for Alex, yes.
Yes. Okay.
And before we get to this, he says there's no debate. I would say that
you just ended the debate.
There's a little bit of debate,
but there is no debate. There is no discussion that we're being censored. There's no debate that the government documents and their own admissions are, this doesn't protect you, it erases your immune system, it makes you twice as likely to contract and even more likely to die what they call COVID-19. And that it was all a premeditated plan. So we are here in the middle of this now.
How do you operate if you think that's true?
I don't know.
Like the implications of it are staggering.
I mean,
you'd have to feel completely unsafe at literally every moment of your life.
What can you trust anyone to do? How could you go to the DMV?
Right.
How could you just get a driver's license whenever?
How could you go to the grocery store?
Yeah, why? They're killing you.
You think they're going to give you a non-poisoned potato?
Do they even make non-poisoned potatoes anymore?
The level of fear you'd have to be living in is just unfathomable. And then, like, if you're in that completely paranoid headspace, how do you not start thinking like, oh, obviously, if all this is true, then Alex is clearly here to pacify me. How do you not turn that paranoia and skepticism
right.
on the very person who's supposed to be the only person you can trust?
Right. Everyone's murdering me. Why am I still sitting here listening to this asshole tell me not to do anything but give him money?
Right. And how could he be here as the only voice you can trust? No, you can't trust anybody.
Nope.
You think there's just one person you can trust?
No.
Please.
Ah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just got into a weird space thinking about that. Like, this would be horrible to live in, to think this is true.
Yeah, I mean, just if you're that influenced, you're either bored or you're just trapped.
So Alex has a little bit of news about Klaus Schwab, and I'm going to need a citation on this.
They plan to do the bait and switch, though, to go, oh, that's the U.S. government. That was capitalism did that. Klaus Schwab brags they're going to blame their great reset crisis they trigger on the existing institutions. Then they'll order those institutions they control to march out and attack the public. The public will destroy those institutions, and now the globalists come in to a failed state they control. That is the equation. That is the plan.
So do you understand the plan? I mean, first of all, I have no idea where he's taking this from.
Yeah.
Do you understand the plan?
So the plan is Klaus Schwab is like, hey, guys, this is totally capitalism's fault. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, hey, man, we got to take down capitalism. So everybody takes down capitalism. And then the globalists are like, surprise, it was capitalism that was keeping globalism from killing all of you, even though capitalism was also killing you. Now we're just going to do it better.
Maybe. I think that's possible.
That seems like what I was understanding.
See, here's kind of how I hear it.
Okay, what do you got?
So Klaus Schwab is up here like a Bond villain.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
He's saying,
he's got the accent for it.
Sure. He's saying, ha ha ha, Great Reset will
right.
destroy everything.
Right.
Right? So it destroys everything, and then he tries to pin the blame on capitalism.
Right.
But this only prompts like the patriots and people like Alex to get in the street and start a shooting or something
sure.
against the forces of the state
right.
that are sent out to attack them or whatever.
Okay.
They have a little bit of a battle, and
okay.
The patriots end up winning, but in the process, it's a failed state. So then the globalists can come in and be like, woo, America now, we own it.
You know, it's real fun. I think the most fun part of being a patriot has to be the part where you assume you'd win in a fight against the state.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a leftist, not once do I assume that I'm going to win in a fight against the state. I assume the state's going to murder me twice over. If I look at the state the wrong way, they're coming for
and
me.
And you're talking about like Michael Ian Black.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing. The Showalters, yeah. Everybody who's done Wet Hot
David
American
Wayne.
Summer. Yeah.
It is an interesting aspect of their ideology that's kind of baked into so much of the literature that comes, like unintended consequences.
Totally.
Like a lot of the stuff that they sort of grow up on, this fantasy ideology has to do with like, well, the only reason we're not in charge is because we're too nice.
Yeah, exactly.
We're too nice. We're holding back. And
we allow you to oppress us.
The second we stand up, you're all dead.
You're all fucking dead.
Yeah.
Every one of you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It's a little bit of hubris.
That's just a little.
Yeah. So look, you could save your own life.
Okay.
But there's something you got to do.
Oh.
Are you ready?
No.
You ready to do it?
I'm not sure.
You know, I've known John Bowne. He's worked here more than 10 years. And I've never seen him put out a report as powerful as he put out today that's on Band.Video. And
not
you know
a high
why
bar.
It's so powerful? Because of the time we live in. Just like my broadcast are more powerful than they've ever been. It's not me. It's the time we live in.
That might be a fair point.
Mandate tyranny worldwide. It's only 4 minutes, 55 seconds long. I suggest if you want to fix things, and you don't want to be in a collapsed civilization, that you go get that and share it like your life depends on it. Because let me give you a little newsflash. It does.
That's right. Your life depends on sharing a John Bowne video.
If my life depends on that, kill me.
There's a lot of people who didn't even know who John Bowne is. They're screwed.
I mean, this is a little bit like whenever the Europeans brought Christianity over to the New World. You know, it's like if you don't know about Jesus, you can't be guilty of his original sin, right? If I don't know about John Bowne, I can't be killed for not sharing this 4 minutes and 57.
I regret to inform you that this is not that same kind of situation.
God damn it.
Yeah. It's everyone's responsibility to know about John Bowne.
In the beginning was the Bowne. In the Bowne-ginning. was the word.
Yeah. Yes. Also, I'm going to dispute whether or not Alex's broadcasts are more powerful now.
That's a good
point.
The
last episode we did, he ended his show with a half-hour infomercial for his phones that he sells. Don't know if this is hard-hitting stuff.
Not great.
So one of the big things that happened in the time in between when we were on our sabbatical in the past was that Tucker Carlson came out and had some words about Alex.
Yeah. He said very nice things.
And I want to talk about a little bit of it because Alex plays the clip on his show.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be wanting to do everything except his job. He plays a lot of clips.
Doing your job is very hard.
Especially
I respect
on a Sunday
that.
Evening.
I respect that. Yeah. I mean, it's a Sunday. Come on.
Yeah,
it's the Lord's Day.
It's the day off.
it's the Bounds Day.
Sure. Bounds-giving just passed.
Bounds-giving just passed, yes.
Yeah. So here is the first piece of this clip of Tucker. And I got to say, like, this is amazing. Like, there's no way he's this stupid.
So whatever else this is, don't let them lie to you. This is not a fact-finding effort. This is a highly obvious attempt to punish critics of the Democratic Party. And
he's talking about the January 6th committee.
Yeah, of course.
And for months, that's exactly what the committee has been doing. Using the pretext of January 6th, the Biden's Justice Department has indicted former Trump advisor Steve Bannon. What? What was his crime exactly? Oh, talking about election fraud on a radio show. That's illegal now.
There's legitimately no way he's that stupid.
That's
so intentional.
That is fucking unreal.
Yeah, and it's got to be embarrassing.
Yeah,
like to imagine informed people hearing that and being like, oh, that's what you're reporting.
Yeah,
it's wild. He knows damn well that Bannon got indicted for refusing to comply with a subpoena. Tucker also knows that the subpoena wasn't just issued because Bannon talked about election fraud on his radio show. The subpoena letter is publicly available and has been for months, and it's super clear why the committee wanted to talk to him. From the letter, quote, "The Senate committee has reason to believe that you have information relevant to understanding important activities that led to and informed the events at the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. For example, you have been identified as present at the Willard Hotel on January 5th, 2021, during an effort to persuade members of Congress to block the certification of the election the next day and in relation to other activities on January 6th. It's true that the letter does also mention how Bannon made some comments that seem a bit prescient on an episode of his podcast that was released on January 5th.
Hmm.
On the episode, he said, quote, all hell is going to break loose tomorrow. Just understand this. All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. It's going to be moving. It's going to be going. It's going to be quick. So many people said, man, if I was in a revolution, I would be in Washington. Well, this is your time in history. It's all converging, and now we're at the point of attack tomorrow. And all I can say is strap in. You've made this happen, and tomorrow it's game day.
Man, you know, I really don't think he knew in advance that it would go as shit as it did. Mm. And he was just using bombastic language.
Probably.
But God, that is the wrong day to use bombastic language.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the wrong day to do it. He had to have seen shit happen on the 6th and just go, fuck
I bet
me.
On the 6th he didn't remember what he said on his podcast.
That's probably right, too. God damn it.
So Tucker's bullshit act of pretending to not even know the basic details of the stories he's talking about is way less convincing than Alex's. Like, Alex seems legitimately unaware of most every detail of the story he's covering. He just, you know, skims a headline or whatever. But Tucker is feigning ignorance to allow himself to make incredibly stupid arguments that would be impossible to make otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's just embarrassing. He should, like, it's more embarrassing than the bow tie.
Yeah, there's no way that you, it, like, it's, come on. Mm-hmm. We've lived through too much propaganda at this. The entire world has lived through so much propaganda that you should have to at least try harder than that.
Well, I mean, like, let's take just like the really basic part of that clip, right? So he's saying, or he's asserting, that
yes.
It's outrageous that the committee would want to arrest Steve Bannon just for talking on a radio show.
That would be outrageous.
Now, if you're a listener of Tucker's stuff or a viewer, you're like, is that true? I can't believe that. That's terrifying. And you went ahead and looked it up. You could very easily find the letter and see that, no, that's not the reason that they want to talk to him. That's not an accurate portrayal of what happened. And then you'd have to ask yourself, doesn't he have a team? This is on Fox News.
Yeah.
There's no way that this accidentally slipped through.
No.
This is a choice.
Yep. Especially considering that if you've been watching Tucker's show, you know exactly why he got a subpoena. Like, he's gone through all of the reasons that you would subpoena somebody like Steve Bannon for the January 6th. By his defense of Steve Bannon, he is revealing all of the reasons.
So he also defends Roger. Big Roger Stone.
Wow, that's balls. That's not good. That's not a good sign if it's okay to publicly defend him.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless you're defending his hats.
Ooh.
They've even subpoenaed Roger Stone yet again. Where was Stone on January 6th? He was in a hotel room as the Capitol was being breached. He had literally nothing to do with it. But it doesn't matter. He's criticized Joe Biden. He could be going to jail again.
So, again, this is arguing from a false premise.
Yeah.
He's pretending that the January 6th committee wants to subpoena Roger to get information about his direct involvement with breaking into the Capitol. Tucker's doing that so he can brush it away with a deflection like Roger wasn't even at the Capitol, and then he can move on. This is important to do because if he were required to face reality of what the committee subpoenaed Roger about, it would take a while for him to explain it, and Roger would come out looking not so innocent. Spoiler alert, they want to talk to him about his involvement in Stop the Steal and how, weirdly, multiple members of the Oath Keepers that he paid to be his personal security guards were reportedly involved in breaking into the Capitol. Tucker would rather not unpack that, and I understand why. I wouldn't want to do that either if I were him. It's too messy.
I don't like it. I mean, defending Roger went away in the public for a good while as far as somebody that you could, even on the right, defend publicly. You know, they were like, Roger's a great guy, but then they would just let it go. You know, they would just leave that on the side.
Well, I think the pardon pushed things a little too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fact that he's now coming back up as somebody who's like, why is anybody picking on Roger Stone? So many reasons. Mm-hmm. So many reasons. You shouldn't even be allowed to say Roger's name without like a long list of crimes popping up next to your name, scrolling down like a credits.
Decades long menace, Roger Stone.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That should be his epithet
title. Only way.
Yeah. So now we get to Alex's part in the Tucker commentary, and this is just sad.
Now the committee has decided to shut down one of the most popular journalists on the right, Alex Jones. Yes, journalist. Jones is often mocked for his flamboyance, but the truth is he has been a far better guide to reality in recent years. In other words, a far better journalist than, say, NBC News national security correspondent Ken Delanian or Margaret Brennan of CBS. Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second. And if Jones sat down with Tony Fauci, he would ask him real questions, just as journalists are supposed to do. He wouldn't just slobber all over him. But Alex Jones makes fun of Joe Biden, so the January 6th committee is threatening him with prison.
That's a really interesting way for Tucker to discuss Alex's journalistic merits. I'm going to try and take this piece by piece.
Go for it.
So the first claim that he's making is that Alex is often criticized for his flamboyance.
Oh, yeah.
That's not true.
It's the only thing that we positively affirm him towards.
If the problem with Alex was just a matter of flamboyance, this podcast wouldn't exist.
No.
Like David Bowie or Prince or Elton John, they could be described as flamboyant, little flamboyant.
Yes.
But with Alex, it's not flamboyance, it's insanity. The things that Tucker is passing off as flamboyance are things like Alex fake crying on air, thinking about all the abortions that have happened in the country. It's things like Alex discussing in great detail how he's stomped multiple people's guts in, and when they do that, it takes a person a long time to die. This is flamboyance.
Yeah, people tick on him for that. Come on, man.
Also, a larger problem that people have with Alex than that, I guess you could call it maybe showmanship, is the fact that he's constantly wrong about things and he just makes up shit all the time. He basically just skims headlines, then improvises what he imagines the story is about and how it connects to his larger conspiracies. It is a much bigger problem than any kind of imagined flamboyance.
Okay, so maybe we call him a journalist, maybe we call him a guide, maybe we blur the line between the two so we don't have to worry about that fancy truth that you keep talking about, Dan.
So the next point that's interesting is that Tucker seems to think that the fact that Alex was super combative against the idea that Trump's campaign and Russia had any connections is the primary variable that makes him a great journalist or a, quote, guide to reality. I feel like there's a larger picture than that one story, and even if you just limit to that, Alex was super wrong about Trump and Russia's story constantly. He is right, though, that the hyperbolic claim that Trump was an agent of Russia wasn't correct, and I guess Alex knowing that makes him an awesome journalist.
Wait, so does that mean that Alex was also correct about Trump being a frontman for consortiums on the East?
East Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay. I guess Tucker will report on that next, too.
I would be interested to hear his take.
Yeah.
The other thing that qualifies Alex as a real good journalist is that Tucker thinks that if he sat down with Fauci, he would ask him real questions instead of being a sycophant. I have some terrible news for Tucker about what would happen if Alex interviewed Fauci. It would begin and end with Alex accusing Fauci of crimes against humanity, and he'd probably try to put Fauci under citizen's arrest at some point. I'm sure the devil would come up, and as opposed to asking questions, Alex would yell tidbits of conspiracy memes he remembers at Fauci and try and plug his website.
And he would also make fun of Fauci using Fauci's voice.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
he'd do an impression.
He would do an impression for sure.
You'd accuse him of his last name, meaning the sickle.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. He would call him Mengele all the time.
At least a few times.
Yeah.
I've seen Alex in interview settings enough times with folks like Piers Morgan or Andrew Neil on the BBC to know that Alex would treat this less like an opportunity to ask real questions and more of an opportunity to do a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
And he would treat Fauci so obsequiously while not on air.
Probably.
Yeah, he'd be like, man, I can't believe that you came
you
to do
my show.
This is great. I can't wait to, we're going to talk all the time. Anyways, you're the devil, you're Mangalana.
Let's do a tour of the country, do debates.
Let's just go across, we'll just fill up theaters, man. We'll just fill up theaters.
I know a guy with a caravan.
Listen, you're famous, and I'm not at all sycophantic.
Finally, Tucker asserts that the committee is threatening Alex with prison because he makes fun of Joe Biden. That's dumb and it's not true, but really what all of this screams to me is that Tucker doesn't watch Alex's actual work and is kind of banking on the hope that not many people in his audience do either. What he's saying is laughable to me because I know what Alex's show is like, how he interacts with information, how he's flamboyant at times. But if you know, like, if all you know about Alex is the little glimpses you get from times he's on, like, Rogan's podcast, you might get tricked by this kind of bullshit. But anybody who knows, like, has listened to his show at length, not just little clips or whatever, you'd know, this is not accurate.
No. A Christo-fascist theocracy is not flamboyance.
So Alex, we get back to him, and there's some news out of Luxembourg that there's some people who are having a bit of a protest against COVID restrictions, mask rules.
This is one thing that bothers me about the far right news media. I don't care if anybody in Luxembourg is doing fucking anything.
Wow. That's harsh.
That's harsh, but it's true.
I don't
agree
with
you. Why are you grabbing an article from Luxembourg at me? I'm just not air today.
I don't agree with you. I think people around the world, their concerns are all valid. Alex doesn't really know what Luxembourg is.
Okay.
Here at TV Viewer, we're showing you footage of Luxembourg, Germany, where thousands of people...
Luxembourg, Germany? See, this is why we can't do this. We can't even have Luxembourg.
He's a guide to reality. You know this Alex Jones.
Luxembourg, Germany.
Yeah, Luxembourg's a country.
Okay.
It's not a city in Germany.
All right.
It's an easy mistake to make, though. You know, it's a tiny country, and maybe Alex just misspoke or whatever. Interestingly, though, Luxembourg was occupied by Germany in both World War I and II, so it's entirely possible that Alex just thinks that the country is still part of the Reich.
Sure.
Like, he's called Zimbabwe Rhodesia a number of times.
Why
so
not?
It's not impossible that he actually just thinks,
no, I'm
thinks
sure.
that Nazi Third Reich is still in action.
I'm sure Armenia is still in the Soviet Union. I have no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I swear to God, he says Czechoslovakia still.
Probably.
Yeah.
So Alex has an interesting source to get to.
Mm-hmm.
There is a guy who's an archbishop who's come up on the show before, and he's got a new letter that he's written and a new interview that's
Ooh, boy. Okay.
So here's a Gateway Pundit article that I'm going to ask Jamie White, our great writer that's out there right now, to add the live show feed article today so that you can all go read it. Those who resist the New World Order will have the help and protection of God, Italian Archbishop Vigano says. You can say what you want about the Catholic Church or these institutions, but this guy's telling the truth. And Christ said that you judge a tree by its fruits.
You judge a tree by its toots.
You judge a tree by its toots.
So this dude's a retired archbishop who I guess has decided to create a late life career in sending letters out to talk shit. He's written a few that Alex has talked about in the past, and we've discussed them when he has, and now I guess he's back on his bullshit. This new letter starts off sounding like it's an appeal to all people in the world to band together to fight off the New World Order
all
and
right.
their evil COVID power grab.
That's great.
Quote, this global coup d'etat deprives citizens of any possibility of defense, since the legislative, executive, and judicial powers are complicit in the violation of law, justice, and the purpose for which they exist. It's a global coup d'etat because this criminal attack against citizens extends to the whole world, with very rare exceptions. It's a world war where the enemies are all of us, even those who unwittingly have not yet understood the significance of what is happening. At least that sounds unifying. I shrug.
Eh.
It's based on dumb conspiracy theories, but at least there's the hope of humanity banding together to fight off a common enemy because everyone's under threat. And, like, at least, like, this is kind of a little bit
sure,
different.
Sure, it's a little bit Independence Day, but whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the end of the letter, though, he's proposing a worldwide anti-globalist alliance, and unfortunately, if you read it, it's really just Christian nationalism.
There we go.
Quote, I invite all those who want to defend traditional Christian society to meet together in an international forum to be held as soon as possible. I call the Christian nations together from east to west, inviting heads of state and the healthy forces of institutions, the economy, labor, universities, healthcare, and information to join a common project, disrupting the old systems and putting aside the hostilities that are desired by the enemies of humanity in the name of divide and conquer. How great! He's trying to overcome the evil people who are dividing and conquering everybody by dividing the world into Christian and non-Christian countries.
Yeah, and then
cool.
conquering the non-Christian ones. See?
Well, I think that's implied.
Yeah.
This honestly seems less like an attempt at fighting something real, as it sounds like a new version of the Crusades.
Yeah.
Quote, I call upon nations and their citizens to ally themselves under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Savior, the Prince of Peace. In this sign thou shalt conquer.
Saladin rises once more in the east. We must gather our troops together and take them down the merry road to defeat them in the name of our Lord God.
It does seem like Crusades.
Any man who kills a Muslim shall receive twice that many slaves in heaven. I guarantee thee in this the way of our Lord.
Neighbors.
Sorry. Sorry. I got carried away by the spirit of the Crusades,
I understand.
Dan.
So in his post on LifeSite, he cites inaccurate quotes about the New World Order that are actually identical to the ones that are cited in Endgame, and even points to the lockstep document as some kind of proof of premeditation on the part of the Rockefellers. I wasn't really impressed with the information coming out of this dude last time we talked about him, and it turns out that has not changed.
Man, I just hate how these dicks always write letters for posterity as if anybody mm-hmm. in the future is going to give a fuck.
You know what? I kind of enjoy it. It's old timey.
You too.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah. I just. They all start out like they're writing the Declaration of fucking Independence.
I am serious about the New World Order because I right. took pen to paper.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Anybody can sit at a PC and type. I used a quill.
Sir, this is written in blood.
Do you even have an inkwell? So Alex, like, you know, he's got to get to the news.
Sure.
He hasn't yet.
No.
Maybe not quite yet.
Well, sorry.
I'm going to play part of a Tucker Carlson breakdown on the fraud of this whole COVID rollout. We're going to start the second hour. And then I'm going to cover these five stacks of news you see right here that are government documents and admissions that they know the vaccine isn't a vaccine, that erases your immune system and gives you cancer and heart attacks and blood clots.
Nope. So Alex is going to play another Tucker Carlson piece. I found this disappointing. I found this was yet another instance of Alex not getting to the point.
Yeah.
But there is another point that he wants to get to before he gets to the point. Mm-hmm. And that is that people are pretty excited about a statement that he made recently that he's going to declare war on Trump.
Sure.
If Trump doesn't get on the right side of vaccine stuff.
Great.
Unless Trump puts all his power behind getting rid of vaccines.
Yes.
Alex is going to declare war on him.
Ooh, what a threat.
Yeah, so he talks about that a little bit here.
So just here's some from Tucker on this, but here's the deal. Joe's almost there. He's basically there. I know privately he gets it all. Tucker's there. So's Viago. And we need to get Rand Paul and others there. And I'm going to talk some about that next hour because there's a video that's gone viral. Jones declares war on Trump.
I'm not sure it went viral, but Viago is Vegano. That's the
Archbishop. I was like, Jesus, where are we at?
No, he's talking about Othello's Disney advisor.
I was going to say, what is happening?
Yeah.
If he doesn't say he was misled. Because now with this FDA stuff, I mean, I'm going to go to Mar-a-Lago and bullhorn the place. I've already made calls through. I know Trump knows this stuff. His chief of staff, you know, Meadows has been confronted about it. If Trump doesn't start coming out against this, then he's aiding and abetting and he signed on to it.
I'm fascinated by it, like how much this has been like I'm leaving. You can't stop me. I'm leaving.
I just don't. I'm so disgusted. I'm so disgusted.
I'm only going to give you 100 more chances.
Oh, man. 16 or 17 more times you do the exact opposite of what I tell people you're doing, and I'm going to be mad.
This is difficult for me to string along.
Oh.
So I guess one more chance, Trump.
Sure.
Give one more chance.
Sure.
So now we're going to get to the news. Or maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I get in here and re-research all this stuff and see all the new stuff coming in. And I've got a problem where this is all just overwhelming. I mean, I know it's overwhelming to you as well. We have articles coming up next segment where the government and the corporations know they're killing us and it's on purpose. And I know that's the message of this show, but it's public now, okay? I mean, it's not even debated. It's like something you've all seen in front of the world happen. Like, we don't know if O.J. Simpson really killed his wife.
What?
And Ron Goldman.
Why are we?
But we know he ran from police in a white Bronco. Or this shirt I'm wearing is navy blue. And the watch I'm wearing has got a army green strap on it. I mean, it's not debatable that this is going on.
So I love the idea that Alex is somehow magically overwhelmed by the gravity of the news just immediately at the point where he's committed to buckle up and get to the information.
Gotta get to this. Gonna get down.
Yeah,
gonna do it.
It's so weird how that always happens. How when it's time to get serious and get to the specifics, it's all just too much to handle. How real and serious everything is. This is like a kid who didn't do his homework kind of shit.
You know, you get to the office at around 8:39. You spend your little time dicking around, and then you're about to get right to work, and you're like, I need a cup of coffee before I can really tackle what's going on here. So I'm just going to step away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So also, as it relates to Alex's shirt being blue, I'm sure that Alex's new hypnotist friend, Jake Ducey, would be really disappointed to hear that Alex thinks that's a certainty and that it's not debatable. It's entirely debatable, not only the color of the strap on Alex's watch, but whether that watch even exists at all. On a subatomic level, that watch is not solid, and your mind can change not only what color it is, but what it is to begin with. If your bank account is an observer effect, I can't imagine how your watch wouldn't be. Alex is going off script with Reset Wars here.
I'm starting to think you're using their own words against them.
I'm starting just to build up a little bit of a theory that I'm working on that Alex, his heart isn't in Reset Wars.
That might be the case.
That might explain why it's completely counter to literally the entire worldview that he espouses.
Yeah, all that new agey bullshit seems to disappear awful quick.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
So, look, we're going to get to the news, except we're not.
Okay.
Because, Alex, like, it's uncomfortable to talk about the news, but something else is way more comfortable, and that's just yelling about how people want to kill you.
Oh, okay.
We'll be 2 years into this in a month. It'll be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 1,000 years. This is never going to end till we're all dead. And they're already saying it's the unvaccinated on all the late night comedy shows and on all the so-called news shows. It's the people that didn't take the shots. They're the villains. Anthony Fauci's not the villain, said Jimmy Kimmel Friday night. It's the unvaccinated. They're murderers. Doesn't matter it's not a vaccine. Doesn't matter it erases your immune system. Doesn't matter it makes you transmit it more. Doesn't matter because that's what it's designed to do. Doesn't matter there's way more deaths worldwide this year than there were last year from the shots. These people have signed on to kill us. Because that's the response of these globalist bankers. And now they're saying, oh, the hospitals are all full of dead and dying from Omicron. That's all made up. It's from the vaccine.
Omicron.
No one's saying Omicron, first off.
Sure.
And no one's even saying that there are tons of people dead of Omicron.
I kind of like Omicron, though.
I do, too. It sounds much more menacing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you've got that Omicron variant? Who knows what that can do?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a certain point when I'm listening to this these shows, especially in the present day, it's just like, this is filling time, man.
Yeah.
Like, you have so much news you claim you need to go over.
Yeah. I'm going
to
get through these five stacks.
Yeah. And then it's just like, these people premeditatedly want to kill you with Omicron.
Omicron.
Yeah.
Every time.
So I was like thinking.
You know what I say, Dan?
Mm.
Women are from Omicron Persei 7, mm-hmm. whereas men are from Omicron Persei 9.
So, Alex gets back to talking about the situation in Germany, but he's also talking about Luxembourg. So I think he does think that Luxembourg is in
there
Germany.
There we go. Okay.
In fact, show the footage we showed earlier for TV viewers. In Germany today, people breaking through the vaccine checkpoint to be able to go to the Christmas fair. Unbelievable.
That's the same story about Luxembourg. He
sure.
definitely thinks that's in Germany.
Yeah, that's
it was
absolutely.
Not a slip of the tongue.
Nope.
But that's really sad.
Luxembourg, Germany. You know the place.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a great city.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a fountain.
The reason that Alex is doing that, it's probably because he doesn't know the difference, but also the whole thing about the Australians being like under a tyranny in Australia. There was a German politician who spoke out and was like, we have solidarity with the people in Australia.
My God.
And so, like, apparently, like, Germany is also under a complete police state, according to Alex.
Sure.
So anything that's kind of close to Germany, I guess he's just going to say is a part
just
of Germany.
Just flip it all in there.
Yeah, because
it's
easier then, because it relates to these other narratives that he's already building, as opposed to having to be like, also... There's a small country called Luxembourg.
Yeah, that would be too much to introduce to his audience this late in the game.
Yeah.
You can't just suddenly invent new countries for them.
It's not a new country. So, Alex gets to the stories finally.
Yeah.
This time I'm not joking. He actually does.
Okay.
And here's the first one.
All right.
German data analyst with German data from the government, the higher the vaccination rate, the higher the excess mortality, a doubling in those dying who've been vaccinated.
I was worried that this was out of Luxembourg, but it is not. It's actually out of Germany.
Straight out of Germany.
So this was a paper that was initially released in mid-November and then immediately picked up by Alex's buddy Steve Kirsch, who posted it on his Substack, and then it went around in conspiracy circles from there. Upon the release of this paper, which made the claims that Alex is repeating, tons of researchers started examining the data and found that the methodology that was used to reach the conclusions was useless, with one statistics professor calling it the equivalent of proving a correlation between storks and births.
Mm.
That's it was a good line.
Wow, that is a pretty solid burn. That's a science burn.
So after they received all this backlash, the two statisticians who authored the paper had to make a very sad retraction, essentially admitting that this was supposed to be a private note that was commissioned by an anti-vax politician in Germany named Ute Bergner. It was meant to be used at a parliamentary session on COVID policies. It's basically propaganda.
Wow.
From their retraction.
Wow.
Quote, The reported and surprising correlation was intended to spark further discussions and analyses. We regret that this note has been so widely distributed.
Wow. Wow.
They went on to say, quote, for clarification, the note is neither a scientific publication nor a sound scientific study which meets our own standards for quality. Our note does not prove in any way that a higher vaccination rate leads to higher mortality. We do not want this study to be falsely interpreted as such this way. They also ask that wherever people cite this study, they also mention this retraction, which you'll note Alex has not done.
I am amazed that you can do that without also having to say, look, we take money to tell politicians bullshit that they want to hear. Mm-hmm. Do you get it? That's what we do. We took money to tell this guy bullshit that he wanted to hear.
Sheet.
So he could, apologies. Mm-hmm. So they could sell it and try and ruin the world. Uh-huh. We're morally bankrupt. That's what we are fundamentally because we took money to give lies.
I understand why you'd want a more thorough accounting possibly of the act.
Just a little
but
bit.
I think they may have suffered some professional consequences as
good.
Well. I'm not entirely sure, but that retraction speaks volumes.
Oh yeah.
And Alex, it would be available to him at the point of doing this episode.
Brutal.
He does not know anything. So here's the second story.
Same thing in the UK. Vaccinated English adults under 60 are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people the same age. And then there's the articles and the statistics for listeners and viewers. But don't worry, Fauci says they're coming for the babies now in the new year.
Good, good stuff. Good
Heart's
coverage.
Not in it.
And good coverage.
Well, that's the way you...
Dense.
Yeah.
Informational.
There's some stats here if you want to see them. Fauci said we're going to kill the kids. Whatever.
Spear tip.
Whatever.
Tip of the spear.
We're always being killed by somebody.
So unsurprisingly, this also isn't true. It's a claim that was making the rounds tracing back to anti-vax Substack enthusiast Alex Berenson. Basically, what happened here is that Berenson took some actual death statistics from the UK, but then represented them out of context entirely. Essentially, he was taking data that reflected the entire population of people aged 10 to 59 and not considering any of the other variables that might make differences there's differences among smaller age brackets and groups within that larger set that aren't being taken into consideration.
Sure, 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 sure.
There are very clear footnotes on the statistics report that he is using. One of them says, quote, age standardized mortality rates can be affected by differing characteristics of the population in the vaccine status groups and the changing COVID-19 infection rate. Therefore, the ASMRs do not show causal links between vaccine and risk of mortality.
Great.
Berenson forgot to parse the data and use it how it's supposed to be used. Different kinds of data are good for different things. And this report even stresses some of the limitations that people making the opposite argument from Berenson might want to use it to say. Quote, while the ASMRs provide evidence that vaccinated individuals have a lower risk of dying from coronavirus than unvaccinated individuals, they cannot be used to determine vaccine effectiveness. This is because the populations in each vaccine status group are likely to differ in ways other than the population size and age because of the selective rollout of vaccine programs and differences in vaccine uptake.
Sure.
Basically, this is just another flashy anti-vax headline that's based on a complete misuse of data. Alex hasn't looked into any of these stories at all. He's just dispassionately reading headlines. I have no idea how he could possibly be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, this is not good. This is not good. Mm-hmm. I wanted a little bit more. I feel like he's deflated.
There's a little deflation.
There's a little deflation. He's really avoiding saying anything other than playing Tucker saying nice things about him.
Sure. And going to the John Bound most important report ever.
Oh, the most important Bound report ever.
And he's going to go to another report here.
Get the fuck out.
He's going to talk about a Greg Reese report.
Ugh.
The people that don't take the shots, they need to be rounded up. Oh, wait, your own numbers say you're twice as likely to die if you take it and you still transmit it. We're going to arrest you. That's what's happening all over the world. Not in America yet, though they're trying in New York and L.A. and San Francisco. But we had founders that tried to enshrine liberties that were already there, but tried to protect them. Enshrine them. Make them off limits to tyrants and point out to the public that these are things you should defend. And now that's all going out the window, and so is all of our prosperity. Such an important Greg Reese report. at man.video, go to the left-hand corner of man.video and click that and go to the Gregory section. You'll see his latest report. Fauci's dead babies and mass graves from the past. Did you know there's mass graves that he ran?
So you got two headlines, some rambling, and then we're going to talk about a special report from Greg Reese.
Yeah.
Just bad work.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Not good.
So it's probably no surprise that this Greg Reese report about Fauci having mass graves is another misrepresentation. This has to do with studies that were done between 1985 and 2005, which were funded by the NIAID, which Fauci is the head of. These were trials and observational studies where the participants were children from the New York City foster care system who had HIV/AIDS. The investigation found that 532 children participated in these studies, and of them, quote, 25 died while enrolled in a medication trial. That piece of information is being used by conspiracy theorists to claim that Fauci killed all these children, and there's a mass grave.
Wow.
In reality, the report that the figure comes from was written by the Vera Institute of Justice. The lead author on that very report told the Associated Press that claiming that these deaths were related to the study is, quote, completely misleading. The AP was able to review some files and found that, quote, of the 25 deaths of foster children who were in the clinical trials, the report says that a, quote, detailed review found that 22 of these 25 children had developed multiple AIDS-related complications prior to their enrollment in a clinical trial. Several had been enrolled in trials designed for those with multiple AIDS-related complications who had exhausted other treatment opportunities. Or options, excuse me. This Reese report is trash, and it honestly feels more like an advertisement for Robert Kennedy Jr.'s new book about how evil Fauci is.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of that. It's like Spawn Con or
brutal.
Something. Yeah, so I mean, this is really, it's obviously a very sad thing,
yeah.
But it's very unfair to use this in the way that they're using it.
Yeah, you know, it's great that the right is using a pandemic that they exacerbated to exacerbate a pandemic that they exacerbated. That's great.
It's Ouroboros.
Yeah.
But if the snake was all tail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no head at all. Why would there be?
So Alex gets to another headline, sort of.
So let's start going through these headlines, okay? Poll, majority of voters concerned about potential of harmful side effects. That's a big national poll out. 74% are concerned about it. You can go read all that for yourself.
So this is a headline that Alex is reading from Breitbart. You can kind of tell that he's even a little confused about what the context is. Like, what's the connection between voters and COVID side effects?
Good question.
Is this like a midterm thing? Like, you can tell he kind of doesn't know what to do with it.
No.
I know for a fact that Alex either didn't read this story or he's intentionally lying about it, because the 74% figure he cites as the people who are concerned about side effects, that's actually a different stat. Quote, the survey found that nearly three quarters of respondents, 74%, have been vaccinated. That's the first line of the article. So what's going on here is that Alex just skimmed over the text, saw a number, and decided to report it based on whatever he felt like it might be. That's not the act of someone who's a great guide for reality, Tucker.
No, that's a great guide for reality, not a great guide for reading about reality.
Oh, my point stands.
I think it does too.
The actual figure is the 54% that are concerned about potential side effects, but only 27% are very concerned. Also, this is a Rasmussen poll being reported in Breitbart, so who knows what's going on here.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that Alex just saw the number 74 and decided to label it however he wanted to,
sure.
Which is, that's criminal negligence in reporting.
Just, I saw 74. That's the number of heartbeats you have before you die. Everybody knows that if you just see a number, you can say whatever happens after that, and it's true.
What's fascinating is, honestly, what you said is as true as what Alex said. So look, he's kind of tired of news.
And work.
Well, news sucks.
News does suck.
Why did he get into the news business?
I don't know.
He seems to hate it.
Listen, nobody agrees more than me.
So he decides, like, look, I'm not doing that anymore. It's time for me to cut a pro wrestling promo.
Sure, that's good.
Rand Paul, I'm coming
get
for
there.
You.
Hey, why not?
But you still supported it early on. Now you need to come out against the whole thing and admit it's a fraud. Because now they admit it doesn't give you immunity and erase your immune system. Dr. Paul, I know you're not on the enemy's team. I know you got bamboozled. Don't be arrogant.
Don't be arrogant.
Trump listened to you, Senator Paul, Dr. Paul. He's one of the main reasons you went with Warp Speed. Admit you were conned, Rand Paul. Your father needs to come out as well. So does Donald Trump. And I'm going to keep hammering this for months. And if you don't, you're going to stand trial at Nuremberg too as well. But I'm not going to sit here and risk my life doing this and not watch you put your skin in the game. And I know they broke your ribs. I know they shot at you. I know you're good, Rand Paul. I know you. The past vaccines, most of them were okay. Some were tainted, but you know it's a real science. You thought, hey, give it to people. We'll save lives. You were conned. But you're not conned now. So, yes, we love you calling for Fauci to spend 5 years in prison. And we love you exposing Wuhan. But go all the way. Go all the way.
Go all the way, Rand.
Debate me, Rand. Tell everybody that it's bullshit or tell me that it's true.
I think, look, what? Honestly, I think there's no chance that this wrestling shoot promo is going to have any effect on Rand Paul's behavior. But I still think it's more likely than him debating you.
I do like the idea that Alex is like, listen, I'm going to be real mad about this for the next couple months. Yeah. And if you don't do anything in the next couple of months, few months from now, eventually, if you don't do anything,
you will be on Nuremberg trials.
I am going to put you on. Listen. 500 times a month for the next 55 years, I will be very mad at you.
Also, Alex should not be in favor of Nuremberg-type trials. International law doesn't exist
anymore.
No. So look, it's fun to shoot on Rand Paul.
Way you more know, fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's spread it out a little. Let's talk some shit about some other people.
Yeah,
and
come
I'll
on.
I'll say this. Greg Abbott, get with the program more.
Come on,
come
Greg.
Out and become a hero and do the right thing. DeSantis. Trying to make people take shots. That's not enough. It was a bad product. It was a fraud. It was a lie. Now a third shot, a fourth shot. Oh, let me tell DeSantis and Paul and Trump and Matt Gaetz and all of them something right now. Let me get this through your heads because, you know, Glenn Beck even gets it now. And I'm like, great, Glenn Beck, we love you. This is the real test of are you evil or are you good? Maybe Glenn Beck thought I was nuts years ago because it sounded extreme. He said that. Now he knows I'm right. So you see what's happening. You want to join Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, Alex Jones, all of our ancestors that stood up against evil that were good. Are you from a good family or a bad family?
What?
I want to tell Rand Paul and all the ones still somewhat on the fence. And Paul's doing a lot of great work, okay? He's picked his battles and I respect him. But the point is, you can't know all this and do all these other good things and then not attack the injection itself and say, okay, we were lied to, it's all a fraud. And Paul, you and Trump and all of you are losing support with your constituents and they're getting mad at you. I'm not the only one. So we're trying to help you.
I'm trying to help you.
I actually think he might be right on this one.
No, I kind of do too.
Yeah, I think he might have really nailed the head on what's going on here that these guys are not understanding.
You
apparently.
Will lose your crazy base.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You guys don't get it. You guys think that you made us crazy, buddy. No.
This is just more fun than his show. I mean, this is his show because doing work, actually getting into any of these topics is exhausting. It's hard. You have to think.
You have to know where Luxembourg is.
You have to know it's a country.
Very hard to do.
It's just more fun to be like, Rand Paul, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm coming for you on Sunday. We'll be at the Coliseum.
I don't like this. I don't like this, though. Is he trying to go back to being the guy who's above it all by being so far right that he can say he's not part of a political party? Because I'm getting real pissed off about this. I'm seeing this Red Scare bullshit. I'm seeing those two dum-dums talk to him. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the Rogan bullshit. I'm seeing him all over places. And now he's trying to start talking shit about Trump and Paul and all of this stuff. I'm not liking where this is going.
Maybe a little bit. I think that the situation with him going on Red Scare, which I haven't listened to, and I will admit I don't know enough about that podcast to speak about it in any way with any kind of actual information. I think that is more an instance of, like, you know, he sent out feelers to wherever.
Yeah.
Anybody would have him on.
Appearance laundering.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's less about trying to be above the left-right thing. I don't think he could launder that now.
Yeah.
I think it's too...
He's too Trump.
Yeah.
He's too associated with Trump.
And he spent so much time with the last couple of years just being like, all Democrats are evil.
Right.
I think he always tries to maintain a little bit of that. I hate both sides.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I don't. I don't. I, I can see where you're concerned,
yeah.
But I wouldn't be that worried
okay,
about it.
Okay, good.
That sales pitch, I don't think it's going to sell.
I don't think so either, but every time I think people aren't going to buy something, that becomes the most popular product in the world.
And maybe I don't know.
Ugh.
So at this point we get to another headline. What? Another headline?
And now the evil, wicked, sick big tech corporate combine is suppressing even mainline science. Even the American Heart Association has had their tweets blocked and have been threatened to be suspended for publishing what is on the Pfizer and Moderna injections, that now it can cause a heart attack or myocarditis. That's premeditated evil.
That's not true.
Okay.
So the American Heart Association wasn't blocked on Twitter. Twitter gave a warning to people who tried to click on a link to this abstract that was on the American Heart Association's website that the link that they were clicking might be unsafe. You could still go ahead and click on it if you wanted to.
Sure.
The reason Twitter does this generally is when something is being mass posted by accounts that are often kind of spammy in nature,
mm-hmm.
they usually are like, just in case this
might
be...
Right. This could be a phishing attack or whatever it is, yeah.
As for this abstract itself, it was retracted a couple days before Alex is on air here.
Yeah.
The American Heart Association was having a meeting, and there's like presentations that people were giving, and one of them that was given at the meeting was titled, quote, mRNA COVID vaccines dramatically increase endothelial inflammation markers and ACS risk as measured by the PULS cardiac test, a warning.
What a great title.
Sure. This title and its abstract were posted online in their publication called Circulation, and conspiracy theorists ran with it as proof that the American Heart Association was saying that the vaccine can cause heart attacks.
Of course.
Also, it was written by a dude who's deep in the supplement game. So
there we go.
It might be sketchy.
Okay.
So once it was noticed that this was published in their publication, the editors of Circulation posted a clarification. Quote, soon after publication of the above abstract in Circulation, it was brought to the American Heart Association Committee on Scientific Sessions program's attention that there are potential errors in the abstract. Specifically, there are several typographical errors. There's no data in the abstract regarding myocardial T-cell infiltration. And there are no statistical analyses for significance provided. And the author is not clear that only anecdotal data was used. So nothing scientific at all.
This was written in crayon.
Yeah.
I am confused as to why this made it into our journal.
Yeah. There's spelling errors, and this guy is talking about anecdotal stuff, pretending it's scientific.
I heard from a guy who knew a guy. Did I mean to say duck, or did I want to say fuck? I can't remember.
The reality, though, too, is... these abstracts that they publish oftentimes are prospective studies that are going to happen in the future.
Right.
It's the beginning of a process of something that could be a study that ends up...
Is this a testable hypothesis that could get a grant or that we need to... Yeah,
but
yeah,
even
totally.
So, the it's misrepresented what... The
I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. That's just incredible that you, yeah.
And again, this clarification was public 2 days before Alex is on air talking about it. So he has every reason to know if he actually does the work that he claims he does.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I was realizing that a lot of the headlines that Alex reads outside of these just rank misuse of information, just... You know, some shit blog.
Sure.
A lot of it is kind of like gossip.
UFC legend Conor McGregor calls for Ireland to leave the EU over COVID restrictions, says it's a police state, not a free country anymore. Pro-vaxxers triggered after country music legend reveals he won't get the vax, joins Eric Clapton and many others, saying, I won't play at any venue that makes everybody have the vaccine. That's Dale Watson.
This is kind of like a anti-vax weirdo Entertainment Tonight segment.
Yeah. It's a little bit... Listen, we caught this guy outside of his beachfront property, and he's telling us that the vaccine's bad.
Yeah. Pro-vaccine people, furious at country musician.
We're so mad.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, it's, so if it I seems like the definition of trivial.
If I understand correctly, I... should be listening to
Conor McGregor,
Eric Clapton, and other country music stars.
Right. Alex said the dude's name and I don't even remember it.
Yeah, those are the three people that I should be taking COVID advice as well as apparently international law advice about.
Well, whether or not Ireland stays in the EU.
Yeah. That's an important thing that I should listen to Conor McGregor on.
And look, I mean, it sounds silly, but Conor McGregor will beat up anybody who stands in the way of Ireland leaving.
Yeah, I feel like if we just really buckled down on domestic violence people, the anti-vaxxers would go away a lot, too. I'm just saying that maybe there's a lot going on over overlap there.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So we have one last clip here, and it's how Alex ends the show. He's just going on about how the globalists are going to hurt and kill your kids.
Sure.
He's getting pretty extreme. It sounds like he's kind of saying that he's going to have to save the world.
Oh.
They don't want to just rape your children. They want to poison them and erase their immune system and give them blood clots and prion disease. Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild. And it's all here, ladies and gentlemen. And we tried to warn everybody. So stand up, speak out against it, and be prepared. Just thank God you live in areas that aren't as bad off as places like Germany and Australia. But once they make them fall, they're coming here. So we got to save them over there to save ourselves over here. Plus, they're humans made by God, and we should love them and support them. Same thing with the new lockdowns in Africa are designed to cause more mass starvation and death as well. If we don't stand up for them, God won't stand up for us. Separately, tomorrow is the last day of store-wide free shipping and double Patriot points on things like DNA Force Plus and Vitamin Mineral Fusion and all of it.
So when you hear a clip like that, you might be inclined to think that I cut out space in between him talking about God's protection and separately free shipping. I did not. He does that on a dime.
Oh, man. That separately is carrying a lot of weight, blasphemy-wise.
So much weight.
Separately. Completely unrelated, this commerce and my religious beliefs.
I think separately is one of the things he says the most on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish it was I'm not mad at the crew, because he does say that a bit, but that doesn't come up as often as separately. That should be on his tombstone.
The adverb that keeps you from going to hell.
The family crest of the Jones family.
Separately.
So I think you get a good sense of what's going on.
I think we got it.
A bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Very surface level anti-vax storylines that mean nothing.
All kinds of bullshit.
A desperate attempt to do some work, I think, and then a abdication of any interest in that.
Very hard.
And then a fun shoot promo on all the people on the right.
Yeah, yeah. That's you know, when your heart's just not in anything but shoot promos, maybe take a step back and just do some shoot promos.
He did.
You know? But I mean, like, for good.
Anyway, Jordan, we'll be back.
Indeed we will.
But until then, we got a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.